This morning, before I get into the message here, I wanted to just mention, I haven't even mentioned it yet, but our Christmas offering this year is going towards furnishing the inside of this building over here. Our vision and our goal for this Connections building that's being built is to be open all during the week, to be able to allow you to invite friends, family, neighbors, to be able to come and use it as a connection point for our community all week long. If you're wondering what it's going to look like, we'll go ahead and run that real quick, but just a little 30-second blurb here. You know, where when you come in the front door there, you'll see the Welcome Center to the right, and you'll notice that it's going to have a cafe area so people can fellowship again. You can invite people during the week to come here. It'll be open all week long. It'll be an indoor children's play area. That's going to be awesome for kids, while parents are kind of fellowshipping and talking and connecting with those meaningful relationships in life. Then it'll interconnect to our children's building and to our church building over here. And so it'll be right in the middle there, and it'll be the kind of the focal entry point into the church buildings here. So we're excited about that. We're hoping through the building to connect during the week with college students, families, kids, teenagers, really people of all ages, and share with the community what God has provided for us. And that's going well. The construction's going well. If you look on the back of your handout, look at the back of that real quick, if you got that. And you'll just notice we kind of gave you some blessings from this last quarter of the year, July, August, and September. You remember in July, we had a humongous beach baptism. We had like 40 people that had been saved recently that trusted Christ, and then they wanted to do that as a testimony. And then it goes through several of the things. 94 souls have trusted Christ as their Savior. Aren't you thankful? 94 souls have trusted Christ. Amen? Isn't that awesome so far this year? And so we're thankful for that. God's been up to some really cool things, and we're just very thankful for what, God is doing. And so, so this year, that's our Christmas offering is going towards furnishing the inside of that building. And so we're very excited. You know, we talked the last couple weeks about a quote from the lips of Jesus. Can anybody remember what that quote was? What did Jesus say? He said, "It is more blessed to what? To give than to receive." And what he's saying there is that he's saying that, as a church, we are more blessed when we learn how to take our blessings and share them. That's why this building isn't just for us on Sundays, with keep out signs during the week. No, we want to open that up. We want to share our blessings with the community. We want to be a blessing. And we want to have a testimony in the community as, hey, Crossroads is a church that's generous. They share. They're good to the community. They're a light in our community. And that's what we want to be. Would you guys agree? Isn't that what the holiday season's all about, Isn't that what Jesus is all about, And on the other hand, you got the opposite side of the spectrum, and that's a Scrooge. Does anybody know what a Scrooge is? We don't have any in here, I hope, right? A Scrooge, by definition, I looked it up in the dictionary, it's a person who is stingy with money and would rather do anything than part with a buck. That's what the dictionary definition says. And of course, who's the most famous? We'll bring it up. Yeah, Ebenezer Scrooge, right. And so there he is, man. Wow. Take him down. Yeah. I'm not the best looking, but I'm better looking than that. Amen. When I take my blessings that God gives me, and then I share them with other people, I'm not a Scrooge. That's called generosity. And generosity is at the very heart of who our God is. It's at the heart of it's at the heart of the gospel. And when I'm generous, I'm like Jesus. This Philippian church where we're at, I had you turn to Philippians 4, and they understood that. They really got that, This principle of generosity had sunk into their head. It had sunk into their hearts. And they had been very generous in giving to the work of God. And the result was that the gospel of Christ was being proclaimed, lives were being changed. And, I was looking back at this year, 2018, and I said, how many times have I preached on the topics of materialism or greed, giving, generosity, those type of issues?
And it's two times. We're in week 47, and I've preached on it two times all year, and that's the last two Sundays. That's the first time we've mentioned these things. That's probably not near enough for our culture, because we all, I think that's a temptation constantly because of the materialism in our culture and the emphasis on things and stuff. That's probably not enough, but nevertheless, we've preached on it two times, and this is week 47. Thankfully, I feel blessed, and I just want to be thankful for a minute here. I feel very blessed as a pastor to have a group of believers here at Crossroads that I think is very similar to the Philippian church, in that I don't feel like I ever have to teach these things correctively like some pastors do, you know, where they feel like they got to correct a huge problem, or I don't have to teach these things desperately like you hear some pastors do, you know, where they're making pleas and they're, you know, we're going to close the doors if you don't step up, none of that. You know, I can really preach this stuff in a very commending, very encouraging way, more like a cheerleader. Hey, way to go, church, you know. And I look back at this year, at your generosity, and I'm amazed. You know, for example, I'll throw a few pictures up as we go real quickly. Super Bowl of Caring back in February, we collected food for the poor and needy, and you guys responded with such generosity. And then we did, of course, the Easter egg drop. Again, you guys were so generous. Thousands of families came on our property that have never been here. Then we did, over the summer, we did the Blessings Abound, where we did backpacks and supplies for needy families. Here's a family that came, and we were able to help. We helped about 100 families with school supplies, and you guys gave so generously. And, of course, we had Trunk or Treat, where we had hundreds and scores of families and kids that we were able to give the gospel to, and you guys stepped up to the plate in a big-time way. And then, of course, now today's Anthony stocking. We know the big drop-off. We had over 600 stockings, which represented gifts that were going to go to the needy, to those that are battling pediatric cancer with their kids. Again, you guys overwhelmed us with your generosity. Clint was telling me it's incredible next door what's going on today. And just in the 8:30 service, at the beginning of the 8:30, he's like, "Dad, we've probably had 200 gifts dropped off already." And this was right after the 8:30 service started. So, you know, your generosity is amazing. This doesn't even include single moms outreach that we did. You know, Vacation Bible School. We helped a missionary to build a building that he desperately needed this year with a very generous donation towards that. And I could go on and on, you know. And I'm just really proud of our church family. And, you know, I got friends that are in the ministry that pastor. And, you know, they're building buildings also. And they've had to go on major generosity campaigns. And I told our pastors back in April, you know, before we laid this out, I'm like, hey, I just believe in our people to respond in a Christ-like way. And, you know, I don't think we're going to have to do big campaigns and pressure and signing commitments and all that. Let's just lay it out there, you know. And we laid it out there in April and said, hey, man, will you guys get behind this? Let's make it happen. And you guys responded with great generosity. Many of you increased your giving. Many of you gave special sacrificial gifts. And I just want to kind of just say thank you. I want to commend you. And I just want to say this. Most churches are really thankful if they see a 5% increase in their giving from one year to the next. This year, we have had a 35% increase in giving. So it's amazing. Yeah, it's incredible. So you guys, you know, I'm like a cheerleader, way to go, you know. And you know, this Philippian church, they wanted to be a blessing, right? And they're amazing. But then Paul turns around and he blesses them. He says, hey, I just want you to know that God's going to meet all your needs, and I want you to know this is all abounding to your account in heaven. So you're going to be rewarded eternally for this too. And so what I want to do is I want to get real practical this morning. How do we do this? You know, how do we actually grow in generosity? Because it's such a huge issue. It's very important. Jesus talked about it all the time. And so how do we grow? How do we become more like Jesus in this area? Many of us are from different backgrounds. Some of us had Scrooge-like, you know, a Scrooge-like behavior modeled before us when we grew up. You know, maybe our parents were very Scrooge-like, very tight and just very greedy. And so how do we overcome our past? How do we as believers in Jesus develop into a generous person like Jesus rather than being like Scrooge? And so I want to get really practical. I want to look back at this church one more time and learn from their example. I want to give you three quick things. Number one is this. Okay, write this in. Generosity requires a personal decision. That's the first thing, and you cannot get past this one, okay? This is so important. It requires a personal decision. Look at verse number 15. Amazing statement. Look what Paul says to the church. He says, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia," that's where they were. He says, "When I left you guys, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only." Wow. Paul says, "When I left you and I went in other places to go preach the gospel, nobody thought about me. Nobody stepped up to the plate, but you guys. You guys stepped up to the plate." They made a personal decision that they were going to share their blessings to help further the work of God. They made a decision to be generous. Have you noticed that good things in your life usually require a personal decision? For example, how many of you are saved, your sins are forgiven, and you know you're going to heaven? Say amen, huh? You know why? Because you made a personal decision to accept Jesus Christ. Nobody could make that decision for you, right? Amen? Some of you made a decision to get married, and you're glad you did. But you know what? The only reason you're married is because you made a decision, a personal decision to get married. Nobody could make that decision for you. You had to make that decision. Some of you today made a decision. You know what? We don't want to be on the outside anymore looking in. We don't want to be on the peripheral. We want to be a part of that church family. We want this church family to be our church family. We want this to be our church home. And you made a decision to become a member of the church this year. That's awesome. Good things in your life usually require a personal decision. Generosity is a personal decision of your heart. It's between you and God. It doesn't matter what other people are doing. We give out of personal love in our heart for God. And just to share kind of a personal testimony with you, Denise and I were married 31 years ago, and we made a decision years ago as young marrieds. I was 20 when we got married, and Denise was, there she is, she's in the back. She was a little older than me. Just a little. You'd never know it, but she was. And we were young, but we made a decision when we were young marrieds. I remember this. We made a decision that we were going to live lives of generosity, and that our lives and our decisions and our spending decisions and all the things that we would decide would be filtered through the decision to live lives of generosity. We didn't want to do anything to hinder that. We decided that we would be generous with our church, which I wasn't a pastor. I was just a member of a church, both of us. But we're like, we're going to be generous with our church because that's our church home. We want that to succeed. We want it to do well. So we're going to be generous with our church first and foremost. We're going to be generous to those in need. We're going to be generous with our friends. We're going to be generous in hospitality. We want to, you know, it costs something to entertain in your home. There's a cost involved, but we said, we're going to do that. We're going to be hospitable people. We're going to open up our home regularly to guests. And I forget one year I added up. I mean, we had hundreds of people we'd had in our home, you know, for a meal. And it's like, we decided we were going to do that. We were going to be generous when opportunities came up to support mission projects or to help get the gospel. Unfortunately, many pastors become takers. Many missionaries become takers. In 25 years in the ministry, I've only had one missionary ever offer to buy my meal, you know. And we have done so much for missions through the years, but that's just a reality. Many times what happens is it robs us of our joy because we can't be like Christ when we have a taker's mentality. And so Denise and I decided years ago, we're not going to let that happen to us. We're not going to just become takers. We want to be givers. And we decided we want to, now we didn't have a lot of money, so we said we're going to give substantially, meaning percentage-wise. We decided we wanted to give substantially and generously percentage-wise to our church, to mission, to other people. And we wanted to see that percentage grow and increase as the years went by. Thankfully, we were on the same page. Well, I tell you what, I thank God for a godly wife. I really do. We were on the same page. Neither one of us was raised in finery, okay? And so material things never meant a hoot to us. In fact, I tease her. I say, honey, there's one thing that you never have to worry about. You never have to worry in the back of your mind that I married you for your money. Because she brought $100 and a 1978 Toyota hatchback into the marriage. And I didn't have to worry about her marrying me for my money either. Because I didn't have two pennies to rub together. We were, both of us were paying our own way through college when we met. and then married after my second year of college. So, yeah, I remember one Christmas we went home, and I had to have some dental work done. I didn't think there'd be a charge because it was a follow-up from previous work, and they ended up charging us for the dental work. We were young marrieds. We didn't have any money. We didn't have a credit card. We had nothing. I'm like, I told the people, I'm like, we're going to have to come back and pay you. And they're like, okay. And of course, I wasn't going to ask my parents because I don't want anything from my parents. You know, that's not there. I don't need that. I don't want that. And so I wasn't going to mention it to them. So literally, I remembered that as a kid, I had collected in mason jars bicentennial quarters. Do y'all remember those? And instead of robbing the piggy bank, we robbed the mason jars and went and got all my bicentennial quarters I collected as a kid to go and pay for that. But we made a decision as young marrieds that we wanted to be givers, not takers, and that we wanted to be generous people. And I am so glad we did. Let me tell you, it's been a blast. Man, I wouldn't take anything for it. We've had so much fun, man. You talk about fun. We have had fun just being able to bless others and help people and be a blessing to whatever church we were a part of at the time. And it has been an absolute blast. But it's a personal decision of the heart. It's something that really nobody can decide that for you. In fact, there's a great verse in your handout that I think says, it sums it up. Look at it. It's in your handout. Look at that verse, 2 Corinthians 9:7. It says, every man according as he purposes in his heart. That word purpose means to choose for yourself. So literally he's saying, every person as you choose, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a what, church? Do y'all believe that? Amen? You believe God loves that? I do. And by the way, he says you choose for yourself from your own heart. God is not going to take anything from you by force. I do not believe some of this junk I've heard preached before, and maybe, I don't know if you ever heard these things where, you know, where people are like, well, they try to scare you. If you don't give, God's going to get it one way or the other. You're going to have a flat tire or you're going to have to go to the hospital. God's going to get it one way or the other. That's baloney. God's a gentleman. And God's not going to take anything from you by force. God wants it to come from a willing heart that loves him. He wants it to come from love. He wants you to love him. And so it's very important. You know, I know that, you know, sometimes people, you know, maybe they got a problem with this. You know, I mean, this is the third time in 47 weeks we've preached on it, but it's three times too many for some people. And I know some people don't want to hear it. They got a problem with this, hearing this. But I want you to know something. If you've got a problem with hearing this kind of stuff preached, you've got a personal problem. You have a personal issue. You have a problem with the Bible. You have a problem with Jesus because he taught on it all the time. And if you love the Lord and you have a generous heart, or at least you want to have a generous heart, man, you want to be reminded of these things. You don't want covetousness. You don't want materialism to grip your heart and destroy your life and render you ineffective as a servant for Jesus Christ. The Bible says that covetousness shoots our heart through with many sorrows. You don't want that. So you want to grow in this area of your life. Number two, the second thing is that generosity must become a habit. I want you to notice there was a pattern to their generosity. Look at verse number 10. He says there, but I rejoiced, look at verse 10, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. So in other words, they just constantly were thinking about it. Verse 16, look at it, verse 16, for even in Thessalonica you sent once and again, in other words, over and over you gave to my necessity. The point is, these people had developed a habit of generosity. It was a practice in their life. And that's important. We're getting real practical here, okay? Generosity has to become a regular grace that you practice in a systematic fashion. And the opposite of that would be erratic, occasional, spontaneous, when the urge hits you, oh, I got an extra 20 bucks this week. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I'll give it to God. You know, it's kind of like the little boy that was going to church. His mom gave him 2 quarters. She said, now 1 quarter is for you to give in the offering at church. She said, the other quarter is for you to buy some candy on the way home. So he's walking to church, and one of the quarters slipped out of his hand, rolled down the sidewalk, went down the sewer. He looked down in the sewer. He couldn't reach it, so he looked up, and he went, well, Lord, there goes your quarter. And I'm afraid that's how we are many times, right? If there's a surplus, okay, God, I got you, you know. But if there's not, forget it, right? And the idea is that it's too important. This issue is too important to a spirit-filled believer to treat in such a very casual, flippant way. It's like, no. When I'm given to the Lord, I'm given to the one who saved me from my sins, the one who redeemed me. I'm given to my Savior. I'm given to the one who changed my life. You know, and the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8, twice, Paul said that this is how you demonstrate your love for the Lord. And that's what he said. He said, you know how you, he said, he told the Corinthian church, when you give, you are demonstrating the sincerity of your love. You know, we say, oh, I love the Lord. Paul says, okay, this is how you prove the sincerity of your love. That's his exact words. And he was talking about generosity in the context. So when you give, it's a serious thing to you. You know, there's a regular, definite, systematic way you approach it. Look in your handout and look what Paul told the church at Corinth there at the bottom. He said, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Upon the first day of the week, Sunday, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So what he was saying is, there needs to be a systematic way that you approach this. Of course, e-giving makes that so easy today for a lot of people. I know a lot of people do that where it's just a kind of a recurring thing, you know, that happens. You want to make sure it doesn't become rote that way. So I would encourage you, if you do e-giving, that you still worship God during the offering and that you make sure that you're very thankful to Him for that ability to give and you thank Him for His blessings and still make that a very worshipful experience. The question is this, okay, to go along with this point. Is generosity a regular practice in your Christian life? Now, question, do you think God would want that to be a regular practice in our life, yes or no? Yes, He would. And so something I do quite often is I do a generosity audit of myself, where I just simply look at, okay, here's what's come in this year, and here's what I've given away, you know, for the Lord. And I do a generosity audit to see where I'm at, you know, and to see how I'm doing. But, you know, as we look back at our spending in 2018, it really will tell the story. It tells our story. It, as we look at our credit card statements, our debit card statements, and our checkbooks, that's evidence of what we really value. That's the evidence of what we truly, not what we say, but that's evidence of what we really value. We can probably look back and see regular systematic monies going to our mortgage company, going to maybe our cars, going to FP&L, yeah, right? Going to groceries. We can see systematic things going to those. But what about our generosity towards God? What about our generosity towards others? That's important. And you know, I would encourage you, if you're new to the faith or if you're a young Christian, start somewhere, but be regular, be habitual, make it a habit. I mean, I don't care if it's a dollar, you know. I mean, start somewhere and say, I'm going to do it every week, you know, and then watch God grow you. Watch God continue to develop that grace in your life. One last point, number three, and that this comes from a verse that we did not hit on last week, but it is one of the greatest verses in the Bible, verse 13. Look at it with me. He says, look at verse 13, let's say it together, say it with me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Giving can, hey, by the way, write that in, is that generosity must come from Christ in you. It's got to be something that happens inside you from Jesus. Can giving become a work of the flesh? Absolutely. It becomes something that we do out of law, you know? It can become something that people do out of greed. They think, well, if I give, maybe God will give me back something better, you know. Or people do it as an act of pride. Jesus said that the Pharisees gave to be seen of men, right? And so giving can become a work of the flesh instead of a reflection of our walk with Christ and our love for Jesus. And you know, you may be here this morning and you may be thinking, well, I hear what you're saying, Pastor Dan, but I just can't bring myself to be a generous person. I love my stuff and I work hard for it. And I'm kind of like Scrooge, you know. I want to keep my stuff, and I'm tight-fisted, and I keep things tight to the chest, and you know. And my answer to that is this: you are absolutely right. You can't do it, but Christ can do it through you. I can do all things how? Through Christ, because He strengthens me. So yeah. In your handout, it says, only Christ working in us can bring the ability to shed our natural selfish tendencies or the cultural trappings of materialism and greed that we all know is there. You know, only Christ can do it, because if we're left to ourselves without Jesus in our life, you know, we're going to probably, you know, want it all for us. We don't want to give anything away. Man, it's mine. I want to do with it what I want. You know, and if you're saved and you know the Lord, who lives inside of you? Christ does. And I want you to look at what the Bible says about Jesus. Look in your handout at 2 Corinthians 9, 8, 9. It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, Jesus was rich, He owned everything, He created it all, He had all of heaven. Though He was rich, yet for your sakes, He became poor, that you through His poverty might be what? Rich. It's not talking about rich in money, but rich in spiritual blessings in Christ, heaven, eternal life, forgiveness of your sins. So if we know the Lord, the ultimate grace giver lives inside of us. I would venture to say that in a crowd this size, some of you, generosity, you weren't raised to be generous, and you aren't a generous person by nature, but you stepped up to the plate, and you brought in a gift for Anthony's stocking, and that was one of the greatest feelings you could have ever had. And that's what generosity does. You want to be a blessing, but yet it ends up blessing you so much when you exercise generosity. Generosity, in your handout, it says it's the normal and natural response. Generosity is a normal response of a person that's walking in a close relationship with Jesus Christ. It's just a fruit of that. I love Jesus, I'm walking with Him, and I want to be like Him. You know, it's just a very natural, normal thing. Verse 13, though, is the key. Look at it again. Come on, let's go back there. Verse 13, there's the key. Boom. Say it with me, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Hey, do y'all believe that Jesus, the ultimate grace giver, can He help us to be generous? Yes or no? Yes. Yes, He can. And really, it's not just a key to that issue. It's a key to every issue in our life. Christ has to be yielded to, and Christ has to do the work through you. I told Denise, my wife, I said, and I think my kids know this, there may be areas in my life where I'm tight. For example, I may be a little bit stingy with how much I'm going to eat out. I may be stingy, a little bit tight with how much I'm going to pay for a house. Or I may be a little stingy and a little tight with how much I'm going to spend on clothes. But you know what? There's one area where I've never wanted to be stingy or tight, and that's in my generosity towards God. I don't ever want to be greedy with Him. If there's one area of my life, I may be tight and all these other, I don't ever want to be that way with God. Because you know what? I owe everything to Him. Everything. I want to be generous with Him. If I'm tight in eating, groceries, clothes, house, cars, you know, and I want to drive around a 1978 Toyota with 240,000 miles, which is about what we had on that when we finally got rid of it. We gave it away. It was still running. We gave it to someone that needed a car. I may want to be tight in all those areas, but that's one area I don't ever want to be tight, and I don't ever want to be stingy, and that's with God, because I owe everything to Him. That's my attitude. But again, it's a personal decision.